Welcome back to the Burns and Gambo show on this Thursday. We are indeed live from the Auction Community Studios. We were scheduled to make an appearance today at the Walmart on Priest and Elliott in Tempe. We had some technical snafus, so we're not able to be there today, but the good folks from Gentleman Jack Blended Whiskey are there today. And if you were looking for us for a bottle engraving remote, they are still there. Buy a bottle of Gentleman Jack, get it engraved for free today. The Walmart, Priest and Elliott in Tempe.
Yeah, so that's still going on. So if you were like, had that, like, okay, I want to get a couple bottles engraved, got to give a gift to a client for the holidays, you could still head on down. They're there. You get the bottle engraved, it'll be fine. So the only thing you're not going to get is we're not there. But you can still listen to the show while you're on your phone, going to get your bottle engraved.
Download the app, you know. Yes. You can. It's like we're right there, you know. It's like we didn't go anywhere at all. So that's going to be going on till 6 o'clock tonight. So please stop by, because I know that's a very, very popular road show, and we hope to hear that they did very well, because I know it's a really good gift this time of year. Phoenix Suns, losers last night to the Orlando Magic. They've got the New Orleans Pelicans coming up tonight as part of this road trip. We are officially done with the second 10-game chunk of the season. We are officially done, if you can believe it, with a quarter of the NBA season. It's already gone. 20 games in the books. We are one quarter of the way there. What? It's a loaded question.
It's what almost impossible to answer. We learned that the indispensable player on this team is Aron Baynes. It's not DeAndre Ayton. They won games without Ayton. They can't win games without Baynes.
Yeah, and who would have figured that?
I mean,
right?
The indispensable guy is Aron Baynes.
That in itself is almost panic-inducing. Wow, you really need Aron Baynes that bad to win basketball games? You know, Holy crap.
Yeah, but they won games. As long as they had one of them. Now, maybe if Ayton was back and Baynes was hurt, they'd be winning games. But this lack of a center is killing them. It's almost like not having a point guard last year. Because, you know, without a point guard, they just struggled, right? Offensively, ball movement, everything. Without a center, they can't defend. Frank Kaminsky can't defend anybody. So without a center, you're going with Shaq Diallo and Frank Kaminsky. So it's just really... So we saw them win games without Ayton when they had Baynes. But we haven't seen them win games when both of those guys are out. They're just not. They got the win the other night against Charlotte, but man, that was a hard game.
Yeah.
Got to have one of the centers. You got to have one of those two. And if Baynes is out and Ayton's back, maybe Ayton will show you that, hey, it's not just Baynes, it's just you need a center.
Mm-hmm.
You just need a big guy. And that changes everything. Because teams are literally, I mean, at will, they're scoring points in the paint. They're getting dunks and layups. And, I mean, there's no presence in there for them. Now, Diallo gives you a little bit of presence because he's a shot blocker and he's long and rangy. But Kaminsky's just, you know, he tries. I mean, I wouldn't knock the effort on Kaminsky. He's trying. He's just not very good.
Yeah.
At defense.
No, at defense, offensively, he was a force of nature last night. But defensively, no, he's not very good. The injuries really cloud everything. And I know this is probably going to annoy you, but it's here's how I don't know another way to look at it. It's one of those, if you had told me, back at the beginning of the season, that after 20 games, the Phoenix Suns would be 9-11. I'd go, ooh, damn, cool, great. They're 500. They're outperforming our expectations of them going into the season. They're a 500 basketball team. But if you had told me that at the beginning of the season, the first 10 games of the season, they'd be 6-4 with wins over Philly and the Clippers and close losses to Utah and to Denver, and we'd be talking about this team in the possibility of them being a playoff team, that start has skewed my whole take on this season so far. Because on its surface, given our relatively low expectations of this team, we should not be complaining for 1 second about 9-11. Not 1 second should we be complaining about that. If you rewind the calendar back to October 15th, we would have all signed up for that.
We all
would have taken it.
They were the biggest surprise in basketball when they were, what, 7-4?
Yep.
And they were beating the Clippers and the Sixers, and they didn't have Ayton, and they were winning all these games. And but without Baynes and without Ayton, it's been a struggle. I mean, it's been a struggle. Now, how you judge it, quarter of the way through the season, it's almost like an incomplete, because you haven't seen it. Aiden, like you said it before earlier today, he's supposed to be the second best player on his team.
Yeah.
You don't have your second best player. Like, that's a big deal for a team that doesn't have a ton of talent. They added enough talent this year to not be a laughing stock, to not be a team that's going to win 20 basketball games.
But they still don't have a lot of it, yeah.
No, in the end, all of us were predicting somewhere between, 30 and 35?
Yep.
Somewhere around 30
to 36. Yeah.
30 to 36 wins.
Yeah.
None of us, I don't think, were predicting that they'd be in the 20s. We thought that they would have at least a 10-game improvement,
yeah,
right? 10-11-game improvement. That's what we thought.
And even with the second 10-game chunk, they're on track for
Still on track for that.
It's just,
but you got a little greedy because played well and they beat the Sixers.
Changed their eye level is what it did. It changed our eye level. We were looking a little higher. We were looking for something different. And now we're not. And maybe when DeAndre Ayton comes back, they get that back. Gina Mizell over at The Athletic wrote a piece today. The questions that linger at the 20-game mark for the Phoenix Suns. And it's kind of the same thing that we're doing, kind of taking a retrospective look at the first 20 games and what happened and how to predict it going forward. Question number one, how will Phoenix reintegrate DeAndre Ayton? And she writes, it's not a stretch to say Phoenix's overall trajectory this season hinges on how impactful DeAndre Ayton is.
Yes.
She's right. She's absolutely right.
100%.
Question number two, what is the backcourt pecking order behind Rubio and Booker?
Oh, that's easy.
Is it? Think about it. Javon Carter.
No.
In, out, in.
No.
He was in, he was out, and now he's kind of getting minutes again.
It's developing Ty Jerome.
Okay.
Struggled last night, but had 7 assists, but he struggles. He struggled with the pressure,
struggled at the rim. He was really bothered by their size. Tyler Johnson, anyone? He's a $19 million. He's supposed to be their backup one and their backup two. He's not playing in these games.
Is he going to be here next year?
He's not.
No.
But if you're trying to win games, don't you have to find some balance? You don't want to go all youth. You've got Tyler Johnson. You're paying him $19 million. He's supposed to be a quote-unquote veteran. I don't think you just ignore him.
Unless Ty really struggles and you're like, okay, he's not ready. I think it depends on Ty. I think if Ty shows that he's worth developing, I think you're going to play Ty and you're going to develop him.
I, for one, would like to see more Tyler Johnson tonight on that second unit. The young guys have struggled without that veteran leadership in that second unit. That's what Tyler Johnson was supposed to be here for. He was supposed to be that veteran presence at guard for the second unit. And with them struggling like this, I'd actually like to see Tyler Johnson play a little bit more tonight.
The opportunity, there was that stretch of 3 or 4 games where he didn't play very well.
I know.
Remember?
He didn't.
That was that bad stretch with Tyler Johnson. Tyler's a good player. He's okay. Like he could play some 2. Ty Jerome could play some 1. You know, as the backup?
We had higher expectations for Tyler Johnson at the beginning of the season than this. We did. I thought.
Yeah, but there's been times he's been outplayed. He's been outplayed by Elia Kobo.
I agree. It's on him to play better, but I think it's on them to if the second unit is gonna struggle, I think Tyler Johnson needs to play more. Question number three. This is the big one. Can the Suns recapture their defensive edge? They had it the first 10 games of the season. They lost it. Now, I agree. A lot of that is because of Aaron Baines and DeAndre Ayton, but a lot of it is because they're just playing some lazy defense out
there.
Well, yeah. And they have for a while.
The reason why they can is because they've got length, right? They've got length. They're a very long team. Mikhail's long. Oubre's long. So they've got guys that when Ayton and you have anchors at center, you'll be able to. Cam's even long. He's got length.
Sure.
So I think they could get back to the defense, to playing better defense once they've got an anchor center.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the hot stove league getting warm. The Diamondbacks, as you would expect, right in the middle of a bunch of rumors. What should we expect out of Arizona this offseason? We'll talk D-backs baseball next on the Burns and Gambo show. Deals started coming yesterday. I mean, they've been coming for the last week or so, but yesterday in particular was kind of a busy day. Zach Wheeler going to the Phillies. Cole Hamels going to the Braves. We saw Dylan Bundy going to the Angels. Hot Stove League getting warm. And joining us right now, a guy who's always right in the middle of all of it. He is from the USA Today, and it's always a pleasure to have Bob Nightingale join us on the Burns and Gambo show, one of their senior baseball writers, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. How you doing, Bob?
Yeah, doing great. How about you guys?
Fantastic. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. Let's start with the Diamondbacks. What do you believe are the chances that Robbie Ray will not be a member of this organization in a couple of months from now?
Well, I think high. I mean, I think he is gone. If he isn't gone, it means they just didn't get, you know, who they wanted for him, and they'll go ahead and, you know, have him out there all year, whether someone wants to come out after him in spring training or at the trade deadline. But there's, you know, so few pitchers available trade-wise, he's easily on top of the list. So I would think they could get a nice little haul for him.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the things, Bob, and you know this, I mean, if they're gonna extend a player who's on the final year of his deal, like, this is the time they usually do it. They don't do it during the season. They like to do it now, you know, December, January. I've heard nothing about extending Robbie Ray, which makes me think that, yeah, they're going to try to trade him if they can get a decent offer.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about extension talks either. So, yeah, I mean, put a high price tag on him and hopefully somebody meets. There's only, you know, four or five pitchers that are available, starting pitchers, and Ray's on top of that list. So I got to think that they can get a nice little haul. Because, you know, you don't have to pay him money like, you know, the rest of the guys out there. I mean, you don't have to pay $200 million or $150 or even, you know, $100 million like a Samardzija. When you get, you know, Robbie Ray for 1 year, and people love one-year deals. You know, that's why the Braves got Cole Hamels for, you know, 1 year at 18. And, of course, Ray's a lot cheaper than that.
What are they giving up in Ray, though? That's the one thing. Like, do we know what he is? Is he just a five-inning pitcher that's going to strike out eight or nine batters and then be out of the game with 97 pitches after five? Is that who he is?
Well, that's who he's been. And I think last year some teams thought, you know what, we'll grab this guy, we'll put him in the bullpen. So he's certainly a great bullpen piece. You know, he can pitch lights out there in the late innings. So some teams may want him for that. I know some teams like the Yankees and stuff were very worried from just what you said, that, you know, five innings, you know, 100 pitches after in the National League West, what does it equate to in the American League East? You know, three innings, four innings tops. So I think a lot of teams are worried about that, that just, you know, can't go deep with them.
Bob Nightingale, baseball writer from the USA Today, our guest on the Burns and Gambo show, talking D-backs, talking Hot Stovley. You know this better than anybody. Right field has been a pit of despair for the Diamondbacks the last several years. They've just had such a hard time filling that role. Crystal ball it for me. How do they trade for one? Do they dip into the market and sign one? How do you think Mike Kazin fills what is now a clear and obvious void with non-tendering Steven Souza's contract the way they did a few days ago?
Well, I think you probably go on a cheap route and see if there's anybody out there. Wait for the market to sort itself out. You grab a guy like a Jock Peterson who is available, but, you know, probably not. Do you go get a Castellanos and spend that kind of money? I think only if the money, you know, drops, but the price tag drops. I don't think, you know, meet what he's looking for right now. So I think you kind of just wait to see what falls through the cracks. You're not going to spend big money in that position.
No, I think you're totally right on Castellanos. I mean, he's a Boris guy. Boris is going to want to pay him like he's a Hall of Famer for two good months with the Cubs, and I think that prices the D-backs out, unless, like what you said, and I said the same thing yesterday, unless that price tag comes down. The intriguing thing for me is I think that they prefer to have Marte at second base rather than center field, and you could do that if you make that trade with the Red Sox. You go get Jackie Bradley Jr. He's the best defensive center fielder in baseball. He's going to cost you $11 million, consistent offensively, but it seems like a guy that the Red Sox are very willing to trade for the right price.
Well, the Red Sox were concerning about non-tendering him. So that's, you know, I mean, he doesn't fit in their plans at all because they want to dump that money. But with the D-backs, you know, why take it on? I mean, you know, realistically, you're not going to contend for a playoff berth anyway, certainly not the division title with the Dodgers in there. So, why put $11 million on Bradley when you could have spent that kind of money and just, you know, brought back Souza or even brought back Taijuan Walker? So Bradley doesn't make sense to me, you know, unless they, you know, ate half that contract or something like that. But even then, you only have him for 1 year. He's a free agent.
Bob Nightingale, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Does the fact that we've already seen a big, fairly big money deal going to Zach Wheeler indicates to you that the marketplace is in a different place this year than it was last year with baseball free agency?
Well, and certainly just aggressiveness. I mean, teams are being a lot more aggressive now. I mean, you had three teams offering more than $100 million for Wheeler. The White Sox actually offered about $125 for Wheeler. And then, you know, just to see, you know, a Grandal get moved, a Moustakas get moved, you know, Cole Hamels. So I think we're seeing teams being a lot more aggressive, saying, you know what, let's jump out there. And maybe the agents are too, saying, hey, if someone meets our price, like the first team that, you know, offered Cole Hamels $18 million, he jumped on it. So I think we may see that. So I'm not sure we're going to see a Strasburg or Garrett Cole or Rendon being moved at the winter meetings, but I think there's been a lot more talk about those guys.
Yeah, you know, the Yankees, Paxton's going to be a free agent after next year. Tanaka is going to be a free agent after next year. I mean, it seems like they're in on getting Cole or Strasburg. It seems like they'll land at least one of those two guys.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, they haven't been doing that for years, so this would be a change of pace for them for sure. The thing about Cole is everybody in the world knows he wants to stay out west. You know, Southern California kid, went to UCLA, brother-in-law plays for the Giants. So, you know, you would think if the Angels are close that they get him. And Artie Moreno's been known for spending big money. I'd be surprised if he doesn't end up with the Angels. I don't rule out the Dodgers, and we'll see. I think the Dodgers are getting much more aggressive. I think just the fact they missed out on getting back to the World Series, and, you know, they got all the money in the world, you know, they can get whoever they want. I would be stunned if the Dodgers don't get either Cole, Strasburg, or Rendon. Now, I think with Rendon, they may offer, you know, a four-year deal between, you know, 140, 160 to get the guy, maybe a short-term contract, but a you know, more money per year than Arenado got with the Rockies.
What do they do with Turner then if they get Rendon, do you think?
And I think that, you know, slide him over to second base, could have him play a little bit of first base with Muncy, you know, maybe even make him a super utility guy. But they're trying to do, you know, they're aggressive there. I mean, even, you know, guys like A.J. Pollock are available. I think they're trying to shift some money around here.
Wow, and, really? AJ might be available, you think, in terms of a deal perhaps?
Yeah, I do. They weren't happy with him. Had some injury problems. Wasn't playing great defense in center field, and offensively he slowed down a little bit too. But yeah, from my understanding, he's available for the right price.
Wow, who's going to take him?
Is the ink even dry on that contract yet? Boy, I think that's great.
I mean, missed so many games. But he played in 86 games last year. He's always hurt.
He was A.J. Pollock.
He's 32 years old.
Interesting. I want to go back to Garrett Cole real quick for a second. How much the Yankees obviously know the West Coast thing for him. How high above what the market would bear for Garrett Cole do you think they'd be willing to go to get him to shun the West Coast thing? Is there a price ultimately that allows Garrett Cole to say, okay, on second thought, I will go to the East Coast?
Well, I mean, it's only $300 million would do it. I don't think you have to go that high, but you may have to go up to, let's say, 275 or at least over 260. I think Cole's going to get around 250. You know, he's going to shatter the record for a starting pitcher.
Wow.
You know, to get him away from the West Coast. But I just think Artie Moreno, I can't see Artie Moreno not getting who he wants. I think Artie's saying, you know what, we poured all that kind of money up for Mike Trout. Let's be aggressive here. We need pitching. Let's get a star. And Artie Moreno loves his stars.
Yeah. Good stuff, Bob. We appreciate the time, as always. Thanks for the insight. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Bob Nightingale, USA Today baseball writer, joining us, Coulter Automotive Group Sportsline, your family-owned dealership for Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. The Air Force Reserve Jerry Colangelo Classic presented by Citi. It's back at Talking Stick Resort Arena this Sunday, December 8th. This year, the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame is bringing you a triple header. Tulane versus St. Louis, St. Mary's versus Dayton, and Liberty versus GCU. And Arizona Sports is giving you an exclusive $9.87 ticket offer. Head to the rewards page at arizonasports.com for
more
details.
Who's GCU playing? Liberty Bibbity?
Liberty, what did
Liberty
I,
Bibbity?
Did I say, oh, you're... Doing the Liberty Mutual
Liberty
commercial. I'm like, did I say Liberty? I said Liberty. Yeah, you're doing the Liberty. I know what you're doing. That's your favorite commercial on TV,
isn't it?
Get out
of the water.
Everything, even with the sound turned down in here, he sees that Liberty Mutual commercial and he just starts laughing at it. Yeah, every single time. They might have one of the best defenses in the league right now, and they are bringing to State Farm Stadium with them perhaps the defensive player of the year. The Cardinals offensively are going to be challenged on Sunday. We'll tell you why next on the Burns and Gambo Show. I got the latest injury report for this game coming up. Cardinals-Steelers on Sunday. We already know that James Conner James Conner was listed as limited today, which is funny because he's already been ruled out for the game. James Conner was limited yesterday. He's limited today, but we already know he's not going to play. He's already said as much. Juju Smith-Schuster, once again, did not practice.
That's big. It's big. He's a great player. He's a great wide receiver. No Conner, no Juju Smith-Schuster. But more importantly is the Cardinals. Like, right, like it doesn't matter who's playing or who's not playing for the Steelers. You have to respond to that shellacking you took by the Rams. I mean, that is what everybody is looking at. Everybody in this town is focused on that. Are the Cardinals going to show up and play better? Are they going to play harder? I think you're going to see Kyler Murray come out like a man possessed, man. He didn't. I mean, everything he has said, he is not happy about the way he played. I think they'll play a much better game. I think it was an outlier. I do. I don't think that's the norm, especially for the offense. For the defense, yeah, we've talked about that. The defense, I mean, you could take everybody off. They got that third-string quarterback. There's no Juju Smith-Schuster. Just throw the ball at a tight end. Right? He's going to get you 150 yards and two touchdowns against the Cardinals. So they don't need Juju Smith-Schuster. They don't need anybody. They'll get yards against this Cardinals defense because it's so bad. But I expect that the offense is going to bounce back and the team will bounce
back.
Kyler
Murray yesterday, obviously, we played this a lot on our show, but just to remind everybody.
It's just a disgusting feeling, you know. I'm sure you were disgusted watching it. You know, I was disgusted being in it. So it's just, you know, it's not a good feeling that, you know, you just don't want to, you know, have that anymore. So just try your hardest not to allow that to happen again.
Here's the problem. And I saw this story this morning on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Past 10 games, there is no defense in the NFL that has played at a higher level than the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Now, that doesn't mean that things can't be done against them. We said the same thing against San Francisco 49ers, and Kyler Murray
sure.
Obviously produced very well.
Two games.
Against that defense.
Yep.
But since week three, here are the numbers. Since week three, the Pittsburgh Steelers rank first in the league in takeaways, first in the league in quarterback hits, first in passes defended, first in forced fumbles, first in fumble recoveries, second in interceptions.
Yeah, I got you. yeah, good stop.
Second
I got
in sacks.
You. Yeah, great. Okay, they're great.
Go on and on.
Yeah, the 85 Bears, I got it.
They've allowed one 200-yard passer in the last six games and just two in the last nine.
Lunch bet Murray goes for over 200.
Oh, 200s.
Okay, because right.
Too low of a threshold.
Too low, okay, but you said, what's the stat?
Two times in the last nine games, the Steelers have allowed a 200-yard passer.
Seven out of nine, they haven't. Seven times out of nine, they haven't.
Yeah.
They have not let a quarterback go for 200 yards.
Up that number to like 225, we'll talk. Up that number to 225, and I'll let
you're on a roll. You've won two in a row.
I know. And you know why? It's through hardcore negotiating like this that has allowed
me. Is that why?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
Because I'm Stone Cold Ninja when
this
it comes
is,
to this stuff
the, this is the Dave Burns that was going to be the lawyer.
This is the Dave Burns that was going to be the lawyer.
You're going to take this plea? This is the last chance I'm giving you right now. You take this plea. You take this. You're going to jail for 30 years.
The Dave Burns who
this
was going to be
Burns
the lawyer.
Kind of. Yeah.
I would have been. I don't think I would have been a very
good
lawyer.
What would you have been? Divorce lawyer?
No, I probably would have gone into like real estate law or something boring like that. I don't think I'd be a trial lawyer. Although, man, I think I could make a hell of a closing argument. I don't think I could have gotten Jack Nicholson the crack on the stand the way Tom Cruise did.
You don't think so?
Oh, no way. You know, remember that scene? So halfway through that scene, right, when Tom Cruise is kind of at that crossroads moment.
Do I go there or do I not go there?
And he walks back to the table and he takes that drink of water. Remember?
Yes.
What,
I'm
going to
go there.
And his partner is like, no, don't do it. Stop.
Don't do it.
If I were Tom Cruise,
you would have stopped.
I would have stopped.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
See, with me,
you can't handle the truth.
It never would have gotten to that.
You would have been scared.
Oh my God! I would have sat down 10 minutes before that. I'd been like, okay, I'm done here. Never mind.
I like you on that wall. You're free. I need you on that wall.
You scare me, Jack,
because I'm not going to go there. Please go protect me,
Colonel Jessup. You scare me.
Never mind. There's only one code red. Don't do it again, please.
You're just quivering in a corner.
No, seriously, when Lieutenant Weinberg is shaking his head like, no, don't do it. I've been like, you know what, Lieutenant Weinberg, you're right. I'm going to sit down next to you. We're done. Yeah, no, 200.
Okay.
Just, you know what? And you know what I base that off of? I base that off of two things.
Yeah, that Mari's going to come out pissed.
That's one. He's going to come out pissed. He's got an edge. He's focused. Okay, that's number one. And number two, we've heard this bit about defenses being too much for him to handle in the past. He has handled San Francisco's defense like no other quarterback in this league has handled that defense.
He played so poorly against the Rams. He missed so many. It was all there. If he watched the game film, because I have the game film, he's watching this stuff. He's like, oh my God, how did I miss that? How did I not see that?
He didn't
read the safety. He didn't recognize anything.
Yep. He said as much yesterday when he spoke with the media.
Yeah, that was a couple of times. I mean, watching the tape where, you know, I was kind of just disgusted at the fact that, you know, the couple times where I did have time, he had chances at big plays, and me being unsettled, you know, just didn't get to him. So, it's tough, but we just got to move on and hope you get better.
Yeah, that's why I'm not taking that bet. I think they're going to, I don't know if they're going to win the game or not. I tend to doubt it. But I do think you will see a much, 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 because he was the sole reason, like you pointed out yesterday, the sole reason why they struggled as badly as they did against LA.
Yeah, and I didn't realize it watching the game. When I got back and watched it, but I did realize it in looking at the game film. The routes were good. The concepts were good. The play calls were good. It was Murray. Guys were open all day long. They were open. Now, on the plays where he was pressured and he had to get, okay, the guys weren't open then, okay, no, open quick enough. But there were so many plays that were left on the field. It was crazy. So many. And he knows it. Murray knows it. And that's why he'll play better this week.
Yeah. Meanwhile, T.J. Watt. Getting a lot of defensive player of the year.
Leads the AFC in sacks.
Uh-huh.
Leads the AFC in sacks. I think he's fourth overall. Kid's having a great year. So he'll be a force to be reckoned with. I mean, he'll be a guy that offensive line, that they've got to be really, you know, wary of him, because he's been all over the field making plays, making tackles, getting sacks, getting pressure. He's done a great job for them. I don't think he'll win NFL Defensive Player of the Year, but some people are saying he should. Like, nobody in the AFC has more sacks than he does.
SportsBettingDime.com had Watt as the leading contender for the award heading into Week 13. Now, it's just an online gambling site. Take it for what it's worth. And the name, right? I mean, he's got the name recognition because of his brother, obviously. I don't know if he's going to get it or not, but his numbers have been, I'm telling you, this Pittsburgh defense. And a lot of it kind of circles back to something we were talking about yesterday. Minkah Fitzpatrick has just been...
He's been the best
game changer.
Well, the New York Times did a story that said this is the best trade of the year. It was with Pittsburgh Steelers getting Minkah Fitzpatrick. They're 7-5. No Ben Roethlisberger, no Antonio Brown, no Le'Veon Bell. Like, they're 7-5, and they're in the playoff hunt right now. And their schedule looks pretty good. I mean, it looks like the Steelers will make the playoffs. And that's why this is a tough game for the Cardinals, too. Like, Pittsburgh's desperate to win this game. They have to win this game. They can't afford to lose this game and go to 7-6.
Yeah.
Like, they're battling for their playoff life right now. They're not going to get the division because of Baltimore, I don't think. But they can get a wild card and get in a year when they didn't have Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, that would be a big thing. Using Doc Hodges as their quarterback.
The Doobie Brothers are headed to the Ak-Chin
No
Pavilion.
Way.
Yeah, I knew you were going to get so excited about this.
No way.
Okay. Hold on. Hold on a sec. All right.
What?
I think this one might be in here by mistake.
What?
Okay.
Wait, what do you mean it's in by mistake?
All right. You know what? I'm going to read it. All right. I'm going to read this. I should have this. Shame on me for going Ron Burgundy and just reading things off the prompter without thinking about them first. Let me read this buzz to you and you tell me if this sounds right.
Okay.
To you.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Now
this might be incorrect. The Doobie Brothers are headed to the Ak-Chin Pavilion on October 3rd.
What?
For their 50th anniversary tour.
It's just past October 3rd.
Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m., but you can win a pair now by visiting the rewards page at arizonasports.com. Can we get a little clarification on this? Are we really talking about a concert that's 11 months away?
11.
10.
It's there.
It's there.
It's on the promo reads.
Well, 11 months away to selling tickets?
Well, if it's on the promo reads, it's got to be right. I mean, how could this possibly be wrong? I don't know. Let's fact check on that just to make sure.
I mean, it's on here three times today.
I understand that, but maybe we can go to the Doobie Brothers website, or maybe
we can go to
Auction Pavilion's website and just make sure we're promoting a concert that's 10 months away. I just want to be sure.
Okay, I'll double check for you.
I just want to.
The lawyer and you got to me. I'm convinced now.
Yeah. You can't handle the truth. The truth is that might be on the buzz by mistake, or we might be talking about a concert that's 10 months from now. It's possible.
So those guys are what, like 80 years old now? 75?
You want to go. Don't act like you don't.
I do.
You want to go.
A little Doobie Brothers. That's some good music right there.
Don't make it sound like you don't. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, for the first time in a while, we have heard from the man who runs the Cardinals defense. Vance Joseph has been a man under attack the last week or so. How has he responded to it? You'll hear from him next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Right. 2023, the Doobie Brothers coming to town.
We stand corrected.
Get your tickets.
The Doobie Brothers promo read we just had a moment ago.
Great song.
It is a wonderful song. Is for a concert 10 months from now, October 3rd, their 50th anniversary tour. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. I want to make sure I give them a proper buzz read, because at first I thought that a buzz read on the sheet for a concert that was either 2 months ago or 10 months from now had to be a mistake.
I mean, the only thing missing is just the year. That's the only thing missing.
Would have been nice, but that's okay. They go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. You can win a pair now by visiting the rewards page at ArizonaSports.com.
Crank this up!
To go see the Doobie Brothers.
This is good stuff, Luke!
At Auction Pavilion on October 3rd.
You like the Doobie Brothers?
I like a couple of their songs.
Yeah.
They're not my preferred 60s or 70s band, but they're all right. That's a good song.
Yeah, this is a great song.
Yeah. Vance Joseph today. I was thinking about something else. I'm sorry. Vance Joseph met with the media today. Now, I think he met with the media last week. It just happened to be Thanksgiving Day. He usually does media hits on Thursdays. I just don't think most everybody was on vacation, so I'm assuming that he did. Vance Joseph today. There's a lot of sound to go through here, Gambo, so let's roll up our sleeves and get
to work.
All right,
let's do it.
All right. It takes courage to live through what they're going through right now.
We have a young group, okay? We're in our first year of a system. Even our veteran players have been in, you know, a different system for the last 3 years. So it takes time, you know, and it takes courage to live through this. It's hard times. You know, we're going to get it fixed. And once it's fixed, you know, no one remembers these times. But right now it's tough, you know. So if you're not strong-willed and you don't have courage, you can't fix it.
All right, that's one. Here's two. Vance Joseph, this was the first time I felt like we didn't fight as a defense.
It was really painful. It wasn't a fun meeting on Monday. It was our first time, in my opinion, not fighting. You know, I mean, we've had some good moments, some bad moments, but it's all been through you know, great effort and focus and fighting and making teams beat us. But Sunday wasn't that. That's unacceptable when, you know, we can't beat that group.
Everything he says, right? That's like, yeah, we can't beat that group. I understand it. That's great. You know, we're learning. We're going through the process. I mean, all of that stuff that sounds great. Hip, hip, hooray. Hip, hip, hooray. It's good. You know, okay, it's got to be patient. It's got to take some time. It's a new system. Everybody's learning it. I could buy that if I knew that the light at the end of the tunnel was that Cardinals going to have a good defense next year. I don't know that.
Yeah.
Because what if I buy this and what you're selling me is you're trying to sell me ice to an Eskimo? You know? It's like...
And I don't even know if Vance is going to be the salesperson who's going to be around next year to try to sell me on whether this is going to be good or not. I mean, if you could convince me that the Cardinals defense will go through a metamorphosis just like the offense did this year, I'll buy that. Sure, it happened to the offense. Why not the defense? The offense obviously improved from one of the worst. I mean, the offense was worse last year than the defense is this year. The offense last year was historically awful in the history of the NFL. It was that bad. you can totally sell me that the defense can improve this year the way the offense, the defense can improve next year the way the offense did this year. What I don't know is if Vance Joseph is going to be the one who's at the helm of it. I don't know that.
No, I don't know that either.
Because Mike McCoy's not, and Byron Leftwich isn't. They're not at the helm of this offense. Yeah, they had to make massive changes.
That sales pitch has to be to Michael Bidwell and Steve Keim, too.
Yes.
That same sales pitch has to be, you know, to the owner and the GM as to, listen, it's a new system. You can't expect it right away. Like, by next year, everybody will understand. But how many of these? But we're also saying you need new players. So it's just, if you're bringing up a whole bunch of new players,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. It sounded really good what he said. I just, are you buying it? That's the question.
He also said that they've played the best teams toe-to-toe.
We've had one game where I thought our effort wasn't outstanding, and that was Sunday. Outside of that, guys, we've played the best teams toe-to-toe. Right, Baltimore and San Fran twice, all those teams we've played, they're good football teams, right? So, you know, we understand that it's going to be a process, and moving forward, okay, we're going to get it fixed, okay, and we're closer than everyone thinks. We are close, but it's hard to win NFL games each Sunday.
Why do you think you're closer than everybody thinks?
Because I watched the tape, right? And again, I mean, you watch a football game, it's sometimes really minor things that show up as major concerns. The tight end. Right, that was a major question for you. He caught 3 balls for 7 yards. He ran off with it. We can fix that. Okay, so I'm not worried about my scheme covering tight ends. Okay, so we can fix those things.
Whoa.
So sometimes
slow down, Turbo.
I'm gonna hit pause on that soundbite right there.
Slow down, Vance. Yo,
I'm gonna hit.
Hold on, Vance. Now you are selling ice to an Eskimo. You're trying to sell ice to an Eskimo. I'm the Eskimo. I got a lot of ice around here, Vance. A lot of ice. I don't know if I need any more ice.
Ooh. I gritted my teeth when he said that. I'm like, ooh, boy,
I'm not worried
sure?
about my schemes against the tight end. You're the only one.
Ooh.
You're the only one in the world.
Man.
In the world. You're the only one. You're not worried about your schemes against the tight end? Well, you should be.
Yeah.
You should be. Have you seen what tight ends have done to you in your career? Your career.
Yeah.
Forget
just the career.
Okay, oh, my God. I can't believe you went there.
Just this season, what tight ends have done to that defense, the way he makes it sound so simplistic. Oh, yeah, we'll fix that. Yeah, we'll. It's been 12 games. You are by far the worst defense in the league against tight ends. If it was that simple to fix it. Oh, yeah, we'll fix it. Piece of cake. No problem. We got this. Then why haven't you fixed it by now? We've got 3/4 of the season is done and in the books. And you make it sound like fixing this tight end problem is as simple as changing the light bulb. Then change the light bulb.
It's like me coming home in social studies with an F in the first quarter, and then another F and a third F and saying, it's going to be okay. Oh, I'm going to ace the final.
Yeah.
I'm going to get 100.
Simple.
I got this. I got an F in the first 3 quarters.
I got this.
But I got it. I'm gonna get an A in the 4th quarter,
wow.
And I'm going to ace the final.
And
I'm going to pass this damn class. No, I'm not. Not passing it.
Boy, it was like, okay, Vance, all right. I'm with you. I'm listening to what you're saying. I'm feeling you. I'm digging your vibe. I got it. And then he went there. And I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on. Not sure if I can. I'm not sure if I can get behind that. I'm not sure if I can.
Yeah, nobody's getting behind that.
Yeah, no. Patrick Peterson. Oh, you know what? I'll tell you about Patrick Peterson a little later. He spoke today, too. And it was very, once again, forthright about the season that he's having. Quote, I wish I could press the reset button, but I can't. I have to find a way to move forward, find a way to continue to grind. Close quote. That's what Patrick Peterson. I'm quoting from Darren Urban's story on
AJ. You know what? You're not hearing from him. He's not sounding like, you know, a disgruntled player that doesn't want to be here.
Nope.
I just, and maybe let this is the hardest part to believe, that it's just, he's just not very good, right? The easy thing is, he's not motivated. He doesn't want to be here. Deion's in his head too much. That's the easy thing to believe. The hard part to believe is, how did you go from being the best cornerback in the NFL to being one of the worst? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't usually happen. Like, there's usually a gradual decline. You went from being great to you suck. How does that happen that quickly?
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, is it panic time for the Phoenix Suns after another distressing loss? We'll talk about that coming up here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.